Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Pesachim is daf Kuf Gimel. Yesterday, Kuf Beis, we're on Kuf Beis Amud Beis, and we're right in the middle of the Amud, almost exactly where we should be. Feel like it's a cause for celebration, but okay, let me not make too big of a deal about it. It's where we should be. The Gemara that we're dealing with now are Gemaras that deal with the Ayin, Kiddush, Havdalah. Okay, Kiddush is really going to be the forefront of today's daf. Yesterday's daf was a long diversion in the Gemara on the topic of brachos, meaning brachos in general. Yesterday, nearly half the daf is dedicated to the topic of shinui makom. When you change your place, you change your place. So is that going to require you to make a new bracha on the food that you're eating? The answer is yes, the answer is no. The answer is very complicated. The Gemara brought down a machlokis, Rav Chista, Rav Huna. The Gemara seems to have concluded like Rav Chista on this issue of Shinui Makom. I strongly encourage you to take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, at the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah, even before discussing the halachas, gives a lengthy introduction. I was talking to Stu about it yesterday. Gives a lengthy introduction before, because Shinui Makom becomes a complicated topic of discussion. But in the meantime, however, that was the discussion yesterday. And then the Gemara came back to the topic of Kiddush. Right, the issue of mafsikim, which is another big issue that comes up a couple of times throughout this 10th parak, is the issue of you eating on Friday afternoon. I told you the Tanaim find themselves in a meal on Friday afternoon. What they're doing with the eating on Friday afternoon, kind of hard to understand, but doesn't matter. They're eating on Friday afternoon, and then in comes Shabbos. So now what do you do? So Rabbi Yehuda says, stop mafsikim, and bench, and then make Kiddush. And now let's have the suit as the suit of Shabbos. That's the opinion of Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yossi says, no, don't stop. You just keep going. It's fine. The meal automatically converts from a weekday meal to a Shabbos meal. Meaning one Shabbos is here, all this food is now Shabbos food. And the meal that we're eating is Shabbos meal. And then you'll just keep eating. And what you'll do is you'll bench at the end. And after benching, you'll make Kiddush. And we discussed yesterday, is that going to satisfy this requirement of Kiddush b'makom Seuda? Maybe yes. Or let's say probably yes. Okay, that was and that took us to the bottom of Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. Then we turned the Amud, and we're on Kuf Beis Amud Beis. And then the Gemara discussed the following question: how about bundling together cups of wine? Meaning, let's say you only have one cup of wine, and the Gemara gives an example of, let's say we have to make Havdalah and bench over a cup of wine. So can I double dip? Can I take one cup of wine and use it for two purposes? And the Gemara's answer to that was emphatically no, you cannot. Why not? Because l'fishei nosim mitzvos chavilos chavilos. The way the Rashbam understands it is that, look, if you take one cup of wine and you recycle it and reuse it for various mitzvos, for benching, for kiddush, for havdalah, so essentially what's happening is that it's a burden, and like any burden, I'll bundle it together, right? Okay, we'll just simply cover as many mitzvos as we can over one cup of wine. You don't want to do that. You want to treat each mitzvah with a certain amount of dignity. And so therefore, what you really want is you want one cup for every mitzvah. So you have a cup of wine. I'm sorry, you're going to bench. That's one cup of wine. You're going to make Havdalah. That's another cup of wine. Okay? It's the mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. That's basically where we ended yesterday. We went a little bit further yesterday, but I'm going to take it up from this point in time on Kuf Beis Amud Beis. And we'll start it's a short daf. Seven lines from the top of the Amud. Starting with the words, velo. The Gemara says, is that true? Vahatanya. The Gemara wonders, really there's no bundling? We don't bundle at any point in time. Don't we have the following braisa? Nichlas abeisa b'motzei Shabbos. If you come home on Motzei Shabbos. Mevarech ala yayin v'ala mor v'ala b'sam mevarech ha-kachomer havdala ala kos. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to have a cup of wine. You're going to make a bracha on the wine, and then make a bracha on the ma'or, on the fire. Now, for those of you thinking, it's not exactly what we do. First we make b'samim, and then we make the ba'or, so stay tuned. The Gemara later on will address that question. So make a bracha over the fire, then make a bracha over the besamim. And afterwards you're going to make havdalah al hakos. So what just happened over here? I'm sorry, not yet. V'imein lo el hakos echad. And then the braisa continues, and the braisa says, and what if you only have one cup? So menichol achar mazon l'mishal shlom kulon achar. Meaning, I know I only have one cup of wine, and here's what's going to happen when I come home from shul. I'm going to have to make havdalah. And also, let's say Malava Malka, right? We're going to want to eat after when we get home from shul, because of course, Motzei Shabbos, Malava Malka. So what do you do? So the Braisa says, here's what you do. You save that one cup of wine, you have your Malava Malka, now you're going to bench, and you'll bundle it all together over that one cup of wine. benching an avdalah is going to be over one cup of wine. So what do you see over here? Bundling, that we do bundle. But the Gemara deflects and the Gemara responds very simply, ain lo shani. Yeah, yes. You're right. In other words, we don't prefer it for people to bundle, but if you know you only have one cup of wine, so the story goes, you got to do with what you have. So you're going to bundle, and you're going to have one cup of wine, and you're going to bench, and you're going to make havdalah over that one cup of wine. Fine. But that's only because at a necessity, not out of need. The Hayom Tov, the Gemara now wonders, the Hayom Tov Shechali Osacha Shabbos, the Islay. So the Gemara says, okay, let's take a look at the following scenario. Where we have Yontov immediately following Shabbos. Okay, I know we just experienced a lot of Shabbos following Yontovs. Okay, three of them to be exact. But now let's go the other direction. Let's say that we have Shabbos followed then by Yontov. The Amar Rav Yain Kiddush Ner Havdalah. And Rav says, what's proper procedure? Meaning, on the exit of Shabbos and the entrance of Yontov, there are two things that need to happen. We need to make Kiddush and we need to make Havdalah. So what do I do? So Rav says, you make first the bracha over the cup of wine, Yayin, followed then by Kiddush, and then Ner Havdalah. What happened to Besamim? I'll explain in just a moment. But anyway, what do you see over here? We're bundling. We're taking a cup of wine and making it over Kiddush Havdalah. Amre. So now, question. How can you do that? How can you bundle? So the Gemara first gives a one attempted answer. Midalo Amar Zman. Well, did you notice that Shechianu is not there? Why isn't there Shechianu there? Meaning, right, when do I make Kiddush on Yontov and not make a Shechianu? Right, good trivia question. Right, great way to start your dinner off tonight. But the answer is very simple, meaning it's the last day of Pesach. Right, Achron Shel Pesach. It's Yontov, but there's no Shechianu. Right, every other Yontov we're going to be making Shechianu and Kiddush. Good. So it's the seventh day of Pesach. So the Gemara has a fantastic assumption, which is, Michal de Shvishal Pesach, Haskin de Komai de Havalei, Achalei, Veleislei. And you know what? By that point in time, the covert's bare. Meaning, your seventh day of Pesach, you basically have nothing left in the house. You're right, you don't have any matzah, you don't have any wine, you're basically down to the whatever's left. So the Gemara is assuming, this is an attempted answer. So the Gemara is assuming that you only have one cup of wine, and that's why in that particular scenario you're going to be bundling. But en achinami, you should have one cup of wine over Kiddush and one cup of wine over Abdullah. That's the attempted answer.
But Abdullah is in the middle of a Kiddush, though. So how are you going to do that? You don't make Abdullah separately.
No.
It's the middle of the Kiddush, you make Kiddush.
That's our Nusach. Right. But at this point of the Gemara, what the Gemara now is thinking is, I should make two separate things. Meaning make a... Correct. Make a Kiddush with one cup of wine, and then drink it, and then take out another cup of wine and make Abdullah. That's at this point in time what the Gemara is thinking. The Gemara says, "Va'yam tovishon deisle va'amar abai yak zena, rav amar yak nahaz." So the Gemara says, "Look, that's a nice answer. It's a nice attempt, but let's be honest. We also happen to know that when there's man, which is Shechianu, which is the first day of Yontov, where you have more than one cup of wine, so Rav will tell you, Yain Kiddush Ner Havdalah Zman. And right now, the only point that we're focusing on is the fact that we have one cup of wine, and we're doing two things with that one cup of wine, Kiddush and Havdalah. How can I make Kiddush and Havdalah over one cup of wine? Ella Havdalah V'Kiddush Chanamil Sehi. So the Gemara gives a more fundamental answer, which is the following. You're right. Generally speaking, we don't like to bundle. If I have to bench and make Havdalah, so I want the best thing to do it is over two cups of wine, and not to recycle a cup of wine and use it for two different mitzvos. But Kiddush and Havdalah are not two different mitzvos. Kiddush and Havdalah are chana milsehi. It's one idea. Now, the one idea reflects itself in one of two ways. Either I'm introducing Kedusha, or I'm moving away from Kedusha. But either way, they're both this idea of Kedusha. So therefore, it's chana milsehi. So birchas amazon and kiddush trei milei ninu. But benching and kiddush, those are two separate things. Benching and kiddush are two separate things. So therefore, the best thing to do is not do it over one cup of wine, but rather over two cups of wine. Ad kan divrei hagemara. That now really ends off yesterday's daf, and that is now the conclusion, the formal conclusion of this idea of not bundling things together, with the exception, of course, being kiddush and havdalah, where that's not called a bundle because it's really chana milsehi. It's one thematic phenomena where we are either making Kiddush, we're making Havdalah, we're leaving Kedusha, we're introducing Kedusha. Good. Ad kan. Okay, and now we begin today's daf, and we begin a discussion which I think is very popular, very familiar, And that is, as long as we talked on this topic of what happens when a Shabbos exits and Yontif enters, so the Gemara now is going to bring a discussion of what should be the proper procedure. We're going to assume, like the Gemara just concluded, that's going to be one cup of wine. But what should be proper procedure? Meaning, here's what we need to do. We need to make Kiddush, we need to make Havdalah. So what's the order? There's a number of permutations in terms of what the order could be. So how many permutations are there? No need to worry about it mathematically, as the Gemara will pretty much go through every single permutation. Because what the Gemara now is going to do is introduce a machlokas amongst the Amoraim, early generation Amoraim, and some mid-generation Amoraim, but a machlokas amongst the Amoraim in terms of what the standard procedure should be. Now, we all know the conclusion. This is one of those Gemaras where we know where the Gemara is going to end, because we do it, meaning we experience Shabbos going into, Shabbos going into Yontif, so we have a sitter in front of us, so we know where the story is going to end. But it'd be obviously much more exciting if we could just get through the Gemara without knowing how the story is going to end. We start Gufa Yom Tov Shechalios Achar Shabbos. So we have this discussion now of what happens when Yom Tov falls after Shabbos. So now we start off with opinion number one, Rav Amar Yain Kiddush Ner Havdalah. Now here's what I will do, which is hopefully going to be the right thing. I'm going to go through almost every Rashbam. Meaning usually what happens is I say the Rashbam is outside, and I just give a loose running commentary following the Rashbam. But over here, I'm going to go through the Rashbams. I'll do it quickly. But the Rashbam really is going to speak out a lot of points, and it's super beneficial to see everything inside. Okay, Yain Kiddush Ner Havdalah, that's Shitas Rav. Now, I know Shechianu, what happened to Shechianu, so it could be that we're talking about the seventh day of Pesach, and you'll see later on, we'll introduce the Shechianu back into the whole discussion. Okay, again, two things that need to happen. Kiddush Havdalah, the Rashbam writes regarding Rav. Sfir Le Kiddush HaSiyom Adifa Me Havdalah. Okay, so first and foremost, your basic question is, what should come first? I have to make Kiddush, I have to make Havdalah. I have to separate myself from Shabbos, but at the same time, I also have to introduce the Kedusha of Yantif. So what should come first? So Rav's of the opinion that Kiddush should come first. Why? So the Rashbam is going to give two explanations. Number one, says the Rashbam, very simple, Kiddush is better. It's the Kiddush is, in other words, think about it. I have two things I need to accomplish right now. I need to introduce Kedusha or depart from Kedusha. Okay, so Kiddush. Good. That's number one. Another reason why we should make Kiddush first is the following. Because Shabbos exits. Sometimes, right, and you see this with the younger generation, they get antsy as Shabbos is leaving. Let's go. Okay, you get older, you realize how important Shabbos is, how special Shabbos is. You're not so ready to depart with Shabbos. Good. So we want to express that in the Kiddush Havdalah. Meaning if we make Havdalah first, it's like, okay, good, let's be done with Shabbos. No, we want to go the other way. We want to push off Havdalah as late as we can. You see that in halach every now and then, like by Chanukah Lecht, right? When you have to like Chanukah Lecht on Motzei Shabbos. So, right, it makes sense to make Havdalah first and then light Shabbos. Light your Chanukah Lecht. But again, the pushing off of Havdalah is that idea that no, we're not so ready to part with Shabbos. Even though it's strange, even though we're lighting Chanukah Lecht, it's kind of hard to ignore the fact that Shabbos is over. But still, just let's push off Havdalah. That's another consideration, says the Rashbam, in explanation of Rav. So now, let's put it all together. In other words, this is the Rashbam now putting the entire sheet of Rav, packaging Rav together. So first and foremost, put wine in the front. Why? Because wine always goes in the front. Because we know we have the rule, Tadr Shein of Tadr, Tadr Kodem. So we want to put the things that come most frequently first. Good. So wine comes first, the Tadr Shein of Tadr, Tadr Kodem. V'achar HaKiddush Ner. I'm sorry. Then afterward, Yayin, we're going to make Kiddush, because again, for the two reasons that explain, either A, Kiddush is better, or B, because we want to really push off Havdalah to the end. And then, Ner v'Havdalah, Kishar Motzei Shabbos, Kishar Ner Kodem l'Havdalah. And as far as Ner is concerned, well, you know how it goes. Ner always comes before Havdalah. So therefore, according to Rav, Yayin, Kiddush, Ner, Havdalah. Good. That takes care of one opinion. One of about six coming up. Okay, but it's good to get it down first, because you'll see, later on, everything's going to be either a permutation of either Rav or Shmuel. So if we get Rav and Shmuel down well in the beginning, you'll see the rest of the Gemara is going to go very easy. Shmuel Amar Yayin Ner Havdalah Kiddush. Shmuel disagrees with Rav, and Shmuel has it first Yayin, then Ner, then Havdalah, then Kiddush. So what is fundamentally at the core machlokas between Rav versus Shmuel, and that is, of course, what should come first, Kiddush or Havdalah. So he puts Havdalah before Kiddush, Rashbam. The Rashbam writes over here, it's the last Rashbam on the Zamud. Shmuel Svir Le Havdalah Kodim Le Kiddush, Kedem Efarish Taim Le Kame, Mashal De Rav Yeshua Ben Chananya, Lema Hadavar Domeh. So we're going to see this in the Gemara coming up in just a moment, on today's daf, on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, and that is, let me explain Shmuel's position by way of analogy. Beautiful analogy. Here we have two things. We're escorting the king out of our house, the king of Shabbos, and we're introducing a governor into our house. Dignitary, but not the king. So now, given that those are the two things I need to do right now, so what should I do first? Should I say to the dignitary, no, come in, it's okay? Or should I first say to the king, no, let me escort you out? Given that those are the two choices, it's obvious, says the Gemara, which is Shmuel's position, let's first escort the king out of the house. And then afterwards, we'll invite the dignitary in. Meaning Shabbos versus Yontov, right? With no disrespect, just simply stating what things are, Shabbos is the king. Yontov is a dignitary. Okay, so good. So that's the mashal, which we'll see later on the Gemara. The Rashbam here quotes it. L'melech sheyatzav apirkos nichnas. Malamnas l'melech haShabbos. L'havdil v'acharka chirotzen likras apirkos likras yontov likadisha. First we'll escort the king out. That's called Havdalah. Then we'll introduce the dignitary in. That's called Kiddush. V'amilso d'shmol amar le'behejo b'brachos b'yushami b'elodvarim Rabbi Chananya amar yanhak. V'yasi Rabbi Chananya k'shmuel. And the Yushami makes a connection that this analogy really is the position of Shmuel. Dam Rabbi Chanina b'shem Shmuel mashal amelch yotzev v'shalton nichnas malav nesamach v'acharkach machnisen es ha-shalton hilkach. Therefore, writes the Rashbam, yayin t'chila v'acharkach ma'or. So first make a brach over wine, because again, he's also going to agree. Tadir v'sheno tadir. Wine comes first. Then fire. V'acharkach havdala. Dekem v'davdala kodem l'kiddush yotzev kol seder havdala. Meaning, once we've made the decision that Havdalah comes first, so do the Seder Havdalah, which is Ma'or and then Havdalah, the Bracha of Havdalah, Kidei Motzei Shabbos, Osdama, V'achar Kach Yikadesh, and afterwards you'll make Kiddush. Good. And now, let's address the elephant in the room. It's not the biggest elephant in the room, but it's still an elephant, and that is, where's Besamim? Why don't we say Besamim? Meaning, Havdalah usually has Besamim as part of the Havdalah proceedings. So what happened to Besamim? Says the Rashbam, last two lines on the Amud. Umashe nosin hamorim sim lebesamim. Why are the Amoraim ignoring Besamim? Lefi she'in mevarchen ala Besamim b'yom tov. Sharei gam b'yom tov yeshlan neshama yisera k'shabbos. Okay, everyone know why we make a bracha Besamim on Motzei Shabbos? I feel like everybody knows. I feel this is common Jewish knowledge. Because on Shabbos we have neshama yisera. We're given extra neshama. What exactly that means? So wherever you land on the spectrum of how you rationalist or you're ready to flex your supernatural powers. But in other words, however you want to understand it, we have neshama yisera on Shabbos, extra neshama. You know what the Rambam says? The rationalist. Rambam says it's our appetite. It's our extra appetite on Shabbos. So either way, however you understand it, but when Shabbos goes, there goes our neshama yisera. And it's hard. It's hard to part with our neshama yisera. So what we need to do is we need to basically, bring us back to life, so to say. That's besamim. That's the general reason why there's besamim. So what the Rashbam now is arguing is that when I have Shabbos and then immediately followed by Yontif, so we don't lose our neshama yisera, therefore there's no bracha on besamim. Okay, good. The obvious question that we're going to ask on this Rashbam is the following. Right? We can all guess. We can all intuit. Well, okay, so we're not going to make a bracha besamim on Motzei Shabbos, but what should we do then? 24 hours later, when Yontif is over, so then we should make a bracha besamim. Because then we're losing our neshama yisera. And we all know that at the end of Yontif, we don't make a besamim. So the Rashbam's explanation over here is good, but it seems to be incomplete. Because how come we then don't just simply take the bracha besamim and move it to Motzei Yontif? This is not my question, this is Tosos' question. If you take a look at Tosos on the other side of the Amos, the Tosos is bothered by exactly this question. second to last Tosos, Perish Rashbam, the time B'samim, Ibn Neshama, Yisera. The reason why we make a bracha B'samim is because we're losing a Neshama Yisera. Over Yom Tov, Nami Ika Neshama Yisera. And on Yom Tov, we have a Neshama Yisera. Good. That's Tosos quoting Rashbam. Vikasha. And that's difficult, says Tosfos. The Imkin B'motzei Yom Tov, Amai Lo Tekin B'samim. So then, if that's true, so then why not make a B'samim at the end of Yom Tov? Good. Lekach nira de biyomtov leka neshama yisera. So Tosfos says, I fundamentally disagree. Neshama yisera, says Tosfos, is a Shabbos concept. It is not. It does not apply in yomtov. In yomtov, we don't have a neshama yisera. Okay. V'hachay maske b'samim mishum de simchas yomtov v'achila v'shtia mo'ol kama b'samim. On Shabbos departing, I normally need b'samim, but Tosfos says, but if Shabbos goes into yomtov, not necessary. Because again, what's the whole idea behind B'samim? It's there to alleviate the pain of us separating from a Neshama Yisera. So that's when we're going into a regular work week. And we lose a Neshama Yisera. So there, we need B'samim. It helps us. But when Shabbos is going into Yontif, I'm not going into regular work week. I'm going now into Yontif. So I don't, in other words, all the enjoyment of Yontif and the eating and the drinking and the Simchas Yontif, that will do for making up for our loss of a Neshama Yisera. Tosha says, that's the explanation, that's the reason why there's no B'samim at the end of Shabbos when Shabbos goes into Yontif, and there is no Neshama Yisera on Yontif. It just happens to be that Yontif will substitute for the bracha of B'samim. Tosfos says that's the reason, and Tosfos is emphatic. In fact, look at the last line of Tosfos. V'yishtamim lo nechonim. Tosfos says, I've heard a lot of reasons which are not correct. V'zeh atam nachon v'ikar. And what I just told you is the reason. But it's interesting, though, what comes out now between the Rashbam and Tosfos is really a very fundamental machlokas. Do we have a Neshama Yisera on Yantif? According to the Rashbam, yes, we do. And according to Tosfos, no, we don't. And the Neshama Yisera, according to Tosfos, is exclusive for Shabbos. Okay. Adkan, now that takes us now through the first two opinions of the Gemara. We have Rav, we have Shmuel. But really, and we're going to go on, obviously, but really we have it. Meaning, we have really the core issue over here, is that when Shabbos goes into Yontif, do I first say Kiddush, then Havdalah? Or do I first say Havdalah, then Kiddush? So Rav says first Kiddush, then Havdalah. And the Rashbam gives two reasons why that should be. Shmuel says first Havdalah, then Kiddush. And the Rashbam says it's based on the Mashal, that first we're going to escort the king out, and then we'll introduce the dignitary in. Okay. And we continue in the Gemara. We're now on the top of Kuf Gimel and Aleph. Now again, there are more permutations, there are more opinions. Here's one of those examples where as many permutations as there could be, that's how many opinions they're going to be. Rabba Amar Yahanak, Yain Havdalah Ner Kiddush. Okay. First of all, just as an interesting point, a technical point, the Rashbam says, really, what I would do, this is the Rashbam talking, what I would do is I would switch Rabba and Levi. Meaning, I would call this not Rabba's position, but Levi's position. Why is he so bent on changing the gears of our Gemara? So he says, and here it's good to know a little bit of your Amoraic geography, because Rav, Shmuel, and Levi are all first-generation Amoraim. They were all in the same Tkufa. Rav and Shmuel were contemporaries with one another. Rav was a student of Rabbi Chia, also learned by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Shmuel, same generation. And Levi is same generation. So in other words, just in terms of contemporaries, it's better to put together Rav, Shmuel, and Levi. Rabbah comes at a later generation. Right? He's more in the middle of the Amoraic period. Okay, and that's a very technical point. In the meantime, however, back to the Rashbam. Yain Havdalah Ner Kiddush. So again, the first question you're always going to ask with any one of these opinions is he a Rav guy? Is he a Shmuel guy? So Sir Lekarav Demashrim or Ben Kiddush Havdalah Shein Acham Ben Afshar Rav L'Smoch Havdalah L'Kiddush Sim Ishazeh Machish Kocho Shel Zeh. So here's what's offensive to Rabbah, explains the Rashbam. Don't put Kiddush and Havdalah right next to one another. They're going in opposite directions. Kiddush is bringing in Kedusha. Havdalah is removing us from Kedusha. So don't put Kiddush and Havdalah right next to one another. We're going to put a buffer in between Kiddush and Havdalah. So what's the buffer going to be? Ner. So even though normally on a regular Havdalah, it's ner followed then by the bracha of Havdalah, But because we want to put some buffer between Havdalah and Kiddush, so therefore the Ner goes after Havdalah. So explains the Rashbam.
Why do you need the buffer?
Because the way the Rashbam explains it, Zeh machish kochel shel zeh. They contradict one another. Kiddush and Havdalah are going in opposite directions. Okay. HaKiddush osei HaKodesh, HaHavdalah osei HaKodesh Kal. Okay. So, certainly, Kishmol da Havdalah kohen leKiddush. But fundamentally, he's a Shmuel guy. In other words, because first Havdalah, then Kiddush. So, and the only wrinkle that he has is put in a buffer between Havdalah and Kiddush. Umiyo yain b'rosh kulan d'tadir kodem. Now, of course, put wine in the beginning because of tadir kodem. Okay. And then, of course, the Yerushalmi, but at this point in time, let's move on. Next opinion. Levi amar Kiddush ner yayin Havdalah. So, first of all, Rav guy or Shmuel guy? So the answer is he's a Rav guy. In other words, Kiddush before Havdalah. Let's take a look now again at the Rashbam. Sfir lay the Kiddush kodem l'Havdalah k'Rav. V'lamei nerotz olam yayin b'reisha. So now, where's Levi significantly departing from the previous positions? First one, not to put yayin in the beginning. And he seems to ignore the rule of tadir v'sheino tadir. Why does he do that? So the Rashbam explains as follows: Lefisha imkein enu nira shemavdel al hayayin hol umarchik havdala me al brachas hayayin vare ikar havdala tikno ella al hayayin. Here's the problem: if I put wine in the front, meaning again, let's go over. Levi is fundamentally a Rav guy, meaning Kiddush then Havdalah. But if I do like Rav, where I put wine in the very beginning, so now by the time you get to Havdalah, did you remember that the Havdalah is connected to Yayin? I mean, maybe yes. I mean, maybe the answer is yes. But the Rashbam explains that it's just too far away. And therefore, the consideration is that I want wine to be in the middle. I want people to realize that the wine is going both on the Kiddush and on the Havdalah. And given that there are four brachas that need to happen, I'm going to take the wine and put it as close to Havdalah as possible. Why? So the Rashbam explains. Because really when we make Havdalah, Havdalah is fundamentally set over a cup of wine. Fundamentally. Kiddush, okay, wine is good, but you could substitute. Doesn't have to be wine. We'll learn later in this perek that in the absence of wine, you could use bread. So therefore, given the choice of where to fit wine, I'll fit it, says Levi, as close to Havdalah as possible. In fact, the Rashbam spells this out. Fine. So I'm going to move wine as close to Havdalah as possible. Havdalah is going to be at the tail end. Good. And that's the and it's okay that wine is not super close to Kiddush, because Kiddush anyway, doesn't have to be wine. Fine. V'haydol amakim, just finishing up this Rashbam. V'haydol amakim yayin mikamei ma'or. Now, why not put wine before the ma'or, before the fire? Kishar motzei Shabbos l'shim kein hayanir al kishrol al avdala v'abam motzei Shabbos alma delaki Kiddush mikad melei. And again, basically the same point, just reiterated. Once they take the wine and move it any closer to the Kiddush, so then it's not super recognizable that the wine is also going on Havdalah. Okay. That takes us through the position of Levi. That was our fourth opinion. Rabbanan Amrei Ki Na. Kiddush, Yayin, Ner, Havdalah. Again, first question. Rav or Shmuel guy? He's a Rav guy. First Kiddush followed by Havdalah. Where's the wrinkle? The wrinkle is that it's first Kiddush, then Yayin, then Ner, then Havdalah. Okay. Why? So the Rashbam explains again. We go back to the Rashbam. Sfir le'karav de Kiddush kon l'Havdalah. Okay, so first of all, he's a Rav guy. First Kiddush, then Havdalah. V'rotzen amelis mochiyain l'Havdalah tfei mikiddush hilkach Kiddush b'reisha v'hadar kol seder Havdalah shal seder kol motzei Shabbos davayayim or v'Havdalah. Okay, explains the Rashbam in defense of this position. Look, he also wants the wine to be closer to Havdalah. But here's his story. Meaning, first let's make Kiddush, meaning the bracha of Kiddush, and then we'll go through the regular Seder of Havdalah, Yainer Havdalah. Okay? And once we, so to say, get Kiddush out of the way, now we can just default into the regular Havdalah schedule of Yainer Havdalah. In Amir Rosal Havdalah, Bekarish Havdalah, Bechol HaYecholos. And also, another thing that the Rashbam says he might take into consideration is, let's have Kiddush and Havdalah at the two extremes. Meaning, move them as far apart away from one another. Again, going back to an idea that Rashbam mentioned earlier, the zemachish kochoshol zeder, you know, you're going in two different directions. So therefore, put Kiddush at the front end, put Havdalah at the tail end. Okay.
This is what we do, right?
Huh? No, we'll get to what we do. First, we've got to finish all the opinions. Okay, Mar Berei de Ravana Amar Ner Kiddush Yayin Havdalah. Okay, maybe the strangest of them all. Maybe not for me to judge, but seems like the strangest of them all, and that is put fire at the front, put Havdalah at the end, and throw Kiddush in the middle. Okay, yeah, I take it back. It does seem strange. Okay, the Rashbam explains. Kiddush kodem lahavdala kirav. So again, Rav guy or Shmuel guy? That's really the first question you need to ask, and the answer is very simple. He is a Rav guy. In other words, first put Kiddush, then Havdalah. V'yayin amir rotzeh lismoch lahavdala kemoshe pirashti. And again, his motivation is, I want the wine right next to Havdalah, because I want people to understand the wine is also going on Havdalah. Hilkach nikia. Be'inanum or mashve bereisha mekame Kiddush ta hakol motzei Shabbos kom lahavdalah. Now, why put fire all the way in the front? Well, think about your regular Motzei Shabbos. Your regular Motzei Shabbos, right, the fire comes before Havdalah. Why? Because on Motzei Shabbos, we're experiencing the fire. And since we experience the fire first, so therefore the fire comes before Havdalah. On this Motzei Shabbos, same story. But on this Motzei Shabbos, there's also Kiddush. Because this Motzei Shabbos also has the introduction of Yontif. But because we're experiencing the fire first, so the bracha of fire comes all the way at the beginning. So explains the Rashbam in defense of this position. Okay. Almost done. Marta Amar Mishmei de Rav Yeshua Nihak Ner Yayin Havdalah Kiddush. Okay, Havdalah first, then Kiddush. He's a Shmuel guy, right? So if you lined it up, in other words, if we were to keep score, it sounds like more Amoraim were Rav people than Shmuel people. But finally, we have one vote for Shmuel, which is Havdalah then Kiddush. The time of the Befarsh will come into Havdalah Korn LeKiddush Hilkach Ner Tchila Lefi Shirot Zelitin Yain Samach LaHavdalah Ula Kiddush Hishneim Nitkanu Ala Yain Avama Or Omra Belo Yain Im Ein Lo Kos. Now here, what does he want? So explains the Rashbam, what he wants is that he wants Havdalah to come before Kiddush, but he also wants both of them contiguous to wine. Okay, very simple. So I'll have Havdalah, Yain, Kiddush. We can't forget about Ner. We won't. We'll put Ner in the very front. Okay. is that it? Yes, that's it. Okay, so, I don't know. I'll let somebody else do the math. Could there be another permutation? Yeah, of course there could be.
Four
variables. So yes, there could be another permutation. So anyway, but that's it for us. In other words, that is all the opinions. But really, to distill and to consolidate, there are really two fundamental issues, or I should say really one fundamental issue, and that is, given that we have to make Kiddush and Havdalah, what comes first? Kiddush or Havdalah? That's a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel, and then there's a lot of sub-variations of, well, should I have the wine in the front because of Tadir? Should I put it in the middle? Should I put it closer to Havdalah? Should I put it closer to Kiddush? Should Ner come in the beginning? Should Ner come? Should the Havdalah be said in the regular Seder? Okay, so there are a lot of sub-permutations, sub-variations, but really the main issue is what should come first, Havdalah or Kiddush. Okay, Ad Kan, that takes us through all the opinions. We're in the Gemara, we're continuing, we're three lines from the very top. Shachle Avu Deshmo, we'll get to the Halacha in just a moment. Shachle Avu Deshmo Le Rebbe, Alamdin Rabbeinu Seder Havdalah, Hech, So please teach us. What do we do? So Shalchay Kachamar Rabbi Yishmael, but Rabbi Yossi Shamar Mishum Aviv Shamar Mishum Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya near Havdalah Yain Kiddush. Okay, so the opinion that we just expressed, so that was said by Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya. Am Rabbi Chanina Mashal de Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya. What is behind that? The following is behind it. Lamelech sheyotzei v'aparkos nechnas. Because the king is leaving that Shabbos. The dignitary is coming in. That's Yontif. Malavinus Amelech first escort the king out. I mean, take care of the king first. And afterwards, then you'll introduce the dignitary in. That's in defense of the position of Rav Yishuv ben Chananya. And the Rashma says that's also in defense of the position of Shmuel. Okay? Enough opinions to go around for everybody. My... Huh? So this is the kind of thing, when it comes to tefillah, here's my observation, and it could be absolutely wrong, but my observation is that when it comes to tefillah, there was a lot more permutation. We have a sitter. So our sitter, like for us, is like now like the defining, you know, the defining way to do things. But when it comes to tefillah, it wasn't as standardized as we have it nowadays. The observation I made, you know, seems to play.
Shmuel did it his way.
Yeah, it seems to play out in a number of different ways. My havi Allah. So the Gemara says, okay, now when all said and done, the Gemara says, look, we're the Gemara. We gotta reduce this to something, some position. So Abaye Amar Yak Zena, Rav Amar Yak Nahas. So it turns into a machlokas Abaye and Rava, which by the way, yeah, I know it's funny. I know. Even the bottom line is a machlokas. I know. Abaye and Rava now we're going to the center of the Amoraim. Meaning center, I mean historically. Meaning up until now, Rav, Levi, Shmuel, even Rabba, they were the earlier generation. So now by the time you get to Abaye and Rava, it really has been reduced. Now I know it's a machlokas between Abaye and Rava, but it's such a small machlokas now. It's just a question of where to put the Shechianu. But fundamentally, they both basically agree with Rav. First Yain, then Kiddush, then near Havdalah. Yakna, like Rav said, like the very beginning. It's just now a question of where to put Shechianu. Now, why are they arguing about where to put Shechianu? So once again, we'll go back to the Rashbam. So the Rashbam explains that... sorry, be helpful if I found it. It'll happen. I feel confident. Abaye v'Rav Asfirli K'Rav D'Amar Yakna Uvizman Hu D'Pligi. They're arguing about where to put the Shechianu. I'm sorry, if you want to find me, it's the last two wide lines before the lines get very wide. Abaye Asfirli Yakzana Me'achar Shemaskal Kaddish Yigmar Kol HaKiddush V'Yom Hazman Shim Ein Kan Kiddush Ein Kan Zman. Meaning, according to Abaye, stick the Shechianu right after Kiddush. Of course. Because why am I making Shechianu? Not for Havdalah, right? In other words, on a regular Havdalah, we're not making Shechianu. We're making Shechianu because Zman, Kiddush, Yantiv. That's why we're making Shechianu. So, very, very sound argument. Put the Shechianu after Kiddush. That's the opinion of Abaye. We don't go that way. We go like Rava. The Rashbam explains, continuing in the Rashbam, Aval Havdalah ina goremes lomer Zman. The Rava sfirle mamat zinim b'kol makom Zman lebesof. Hachanami Zman lebesof. Well, normally, where do I put Shechianu? I put Shechianu at the tail end. So what do I do over here? I put Shechianu at the tail end. You're right. Shechianu is not as a result of Havdalah. Point well taken. But Shechianu is usually the punctuation. Here too, it will be the punctuation. And why? Why does Shechianu come at the end? Because, explains the Rashbam, you don't really need to say Kiddush to say Shechianu. For example, Ikaru eno ala kos hilka chomer levesof. Because you could be in the marketplace, explains the Rashbam, and you don't have anywhere to go, you have nowhere to eat. And it's a sad picture that I just painted. But you're still going to make Shechianu. All right, let's give a simple example which we all know. Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we're all going to make a Shechianu. There's no Kiddush. There's no... we're not eating. Right, the Shechianu is going on the Zman. So in other words, Shechianu is a standalone bracha. So when it comes at Kiddush, it's going to come at the end. So here too, explains Rava, When it comes, it's going to come at the end. Okay, Adkan. And finally, the Gemara concludes this whole discussion. V'hilchos ha-karava, and the halacha is like Rava. By the way, interesting conclusion of the Gemara. Hilchos ha-karava, meaning isn't that the default? Meaning, if I have a machlokes between Abai and Rava, so we're going to go like Rava. Why did the Gemara need to say the words hilchos ha-karava? So Tosis explains because it's not just Abai and Rava. Meaning, we just went through a half a dozen Amorayim, Rav and Shmuel and Levi and half a dozen Amorayim. So the Gemara just wants to make sure that we know, after all is said and done, the halacha is like Rava. Okay? So in all this, we could say very simply, Yak Nahaz. That's the Gemara's conclusion. Which now, if we open up our Siddur, good. Like I said in the beginning of today's daf, you knew where we were ending, it's just a question of getting there. Yes, Danny. It's a good question. I'm not sure. In other words, the Zechor Yom HaShabbos got shows Zechor Yal HaYayin. So I'm not. If I were to guess, I'd say Doraisa. But I'm admitting though that that's a guess. Whether Havdalah is Doraisa or not, here I do know something. So whether Havdalah is Doraisa or not, that's a machlokes. Machlokes Rishonim. Whether the mitzvah of Havdalah is a mitzvah Doraisa or Derabanan. The Rambam is of the opinion that Havdalah is a Doraisa. Right. By the way, I was thinking this. I didn't say this earlier in today's daf. But when the Gemara says, you know, that Kiddush and Havdalah is Chana Mil Sehi, it's the same thing. That's great support for the Rambam. Because the Rambam says that Kiddush and Havdalah are both Daraisa. For the Gemara, when the Gemara equated the two, so I was thinking to myself, the Rambam looks at this Gemara and he's very happy, I'm sure.
Since we make Havdalah on a weekly basis, it has more Tadir than Kiddush and Havdalah.
Yes. In other words, why didn't the Gemara throw out the argument of Tadir when it comes to Havdalah? And that's a good question. I don't know. Let's go on. We are in Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. We're about a third of the way down. No, we're doing great. I knew the first part of today's daf was going to go slowly. I mean, there was just a lot to cover. Rav Huna bar Yehuda ikle bei Rava. Rav Huna goes to the house of Rava. Aisa lekame ma'or besamim. And now, the issue which probably was bothering us earlier, and that was the correct order of fire besamim. Well, actually, I'm not sorry. We ignored besamim up until now. Now we're not going to ignore it. So, given the choice of Havdalah, it was just a regular Havdalah. Ma'or besamim, so birch Rava abesamim, bereisha v'hada ama'or. So, what was the minhag of Rava? So, first he made a bracha of besamim, and then he made a bracha of ma'or. Okay, let's think about our Havdalah. Is he right? Yeah. I mean, that's a silly question. Is he right? Meaning, of course he's right. Meaning, do we follow, that's the better way to say it. Do we follow Rava? Yes. So, yeah, yes, we do. So Amalei v'habein beishamim v'vein beisilol mo'or bereisha v'hadar abisamim umayi. So he says, really, what are you doing? Meaning, I have a Mishnah. Mishnah is in Brachos, eighth parak, I believe. So the Mishnah says beishamim omrim neru mazon besamim v'havdala ubeisilol omrim neru besamim mazon v'havdala. A situation where shal shiras and havdala all being rolled into one. And what's happening? Machlokis in terms of where to put the mazon, but when all is said and done, what do I do with what do I do in terms of ner and besamim? First ner, and then besamim. According to both opinions, according to Beisham and Beisilo. So what are you doing? So Ani Rava Basreva Amar, so Rava says, okay, you know a Mishnah in Brachos. Very good. That Mishnah is not agreed to by everybody. V'amr zu divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir's version of the machlokes b'cham and b'sel, which, by the way, makes a lot of sense because it's a stam Mishnah. Stam Mishnah to Rabbi Meir. Good. But anyway, but that's Rabbi Meir. Avar Rabbi Huda Amr lo nechlugu b'cham and b'sel ala mazon shu b'tchila v'ala avdel shu b'sof. No, the Rabbi Yehuda version of the Machlokas is, everyone agrees that Havdalah, I'm sorry, that Mazon comes first. In other words, the Birchas of Mazon. Followed then by Havdalah at the end. So the book ends, we all know. And Rav Yochanan says, that's what we do. Meaning, we follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, but now that we know that there are two versions of Beis Hillel, now the follow-up question is, which version do we follow of Beis Hillel? We follow the Rabbi Yehuda version of Beis Hillel, which now our minhag conforms to, once again, the conclusion of the Gemara, is that first besamim, then ma'or. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Yaakov bar Abba ikla lebei Rava.
What is the reason?
Yeah, right. I was. The Rashbam doesn't say. Right. No, you see, Hedy's just asking a very straightforward question, meaning why? Why put the besamim before the maor?
Higher level in terms of your perception.
I'm open. I'm open for suggestions. I don't know.
When you start with taste, like a very big area that's in the taste, where a smell is a little higher elevation, and mm-hmm. then sight is more integrated to the brain, where you have to, so you're going higher and higher. Top dollar at the end of it.
You're definitely over 40, by the way. I'm telling you. You're giving now these deep explanations. Yes. It's okay. I too am over 40. Okay. Again, I'm open. The store is open. I don't know. The Rashbam doesn't say. You know, when the Rashbam says, I'm very good at repeating. And then when it comes for me to say something on my own, okay, I'm, you know, not so good. Rav Yaakov bar Abba Ikla Bei Rava Chazi de Baruch Bar Pri Agafen Akasa Kama Vahad de Baruch Akasa de Berchasa V'ishte. Okay. So they went to the house of Rav, and Rav did the following. Now, just before we go on in the Gemara, just a simple explanation. Drinking wine back in the good old days was like done. Meaning, you know how we drink water in the middle of our meal? I am not calling them by any, they didn't abuse it by any stretch of the imagination. They just drank wine, meaning it was much more accepted to drink wine, and not just drink wine, but as a constant companion throughout the meal. During the meal, after the meal, after benching. In fact, Tosfos at the very end, there's a long Tosfos on today's daf. It starts over here on a daf that we didn't even get to the Gemara yet. If you take a look at the end of the Tosfos, it's like all the way on the end of this Tosfos, which spills onto the Amud Beis. So, V'yemei Chachamim, I'm reading like the last four lines of this Tosfos. V'yemei Chachamim hayu mesichem en apas b'akir shochan, meaning what used to be the custom back then. They used to have a meal. The table, like the table in front of me right now, kind of like the tables in front of you right now. So that was their tables. It's a modern phenomena that we have this large table and everyone sits at one table. Fine. So their meals used to kind of look like the way we're sitting right now, with everyone having their own table in front of us. And how did it signify the end of the meal? You just picked up the table and removed it. And then what? Tosa says, you know what happened after that? The Azayu you regil and lishtos yain alecho peros. And then we drink wine. In other words, so the meal's over, and now, okay, meal's over, good. Now let's drink some wine, eat some fruit. Okay, that was dessert. Wine served as also as a dessert. So in other words, just in general, to help us get through a lot of these Gemaras, just understand that wine was a constant companion during the meal, after the meal, even after benching. With all that stated, so the basic issue is going to be, when do I make a bracha over a cup of wine? Every cup of wine? We all kind of intuitively know, no, not every cup of wine. At what juncture are we going to be making new brachas over the wine? That's essentially now what the Gemara is going to be dealing with. Rav Yaakov barav ikla beirava havia, I'm sorry, chazi de baruch bar priagaf and akasa kama, vahada baruch akasa de birchasa, v'ishte. So what he did is he made a bracha over the first cup of wine that he drank. Okay. You could call it Kiddush. And a kasa de birchasa. When he benched over a cup of wine, because, you know, you bench over a cup of wine, so then he would make another bor pri agafen. Well, of course, I mean, I'll say this from our standpoint. Of course he would, because he just benched. So benching, like, cleared everything in front of it, and so now wants to drink wine after benching, fine, just... In other words, but a new bracha of wine. So the response that he got from Rav Yaakov Bar Abba is, that seems to be excessive in terms of the number of brachas that you make, not in terms of the amount of wine you drink. That's fine. But in terms of the brachas, it seems to be excessive. Didn't you already make a bracha? Well, when we were in the house of the Reish Galusa, that's what we did. Meaning, I'm not deviating. I'm doing what we did. Well, I could strike a very simple distinction. When you were in the house of the Reish Galusa, you weren't in control of the wine. You got, you didn't get. And that was all up to the Reish Galusa. So when he poured you a cup of wine, as far as you were concerned, that was the only cup you were getting. And then you were getting another one. Oh, look at that. And I got another one. I wasn't thinking about that. So over there in the house of the Reish Galusa, I can understand how every cup is going to warrant a new bracha, because when you made the bracha of wine, you weren't thinking about future cups of wine. But over here, the wine's right in front of you. You know you're going to be drinking. So Amalei Anav de Ketamid de Rav. So in defense of his position, he says, look, okay, maybe your distinction is right. But I go like the students of Rav. The Rav Barun of Rav Chanan, Tamid de Rav Aviyasa Besudasa. He says, the students of Rav were at a meal. Kai I alayu Rav Yeba Saba. And serving them was Rav Yeba Saba. Seems a little strange that somebody older was serving the younger, but either way. Amalei Havlan v'Nivrech. So he says, okay, let's bench, meaning they didn't even bench. Just a declaration of it's time. Their meal's over. So Lesof Amalei Havlan v'Nishte. Change of plans. No, let's not bench. Let's drink a little bit. So Amalehu Hachi Amarav Kevin Damrizo Havlan v'Nivrech Itzer L'chu L'mishte. No. Once the declaration comes at the table of let's bench, so then that's it. Meal's over. In our minds, the meal is over. So anything from that point going forward is, let me say it simpler. The meal's over. We have to bench. Ben wonders, and it's a very good point to consider. Right? How about a guest making that declaration? Right, which is, you know, falls under the category, you can file that under chutzpah. Guest is at the table, okay, it's time to bench. All right, I could certainly understand it. Meal's going on, but still, you know, file under chutzpah. It has to be the person in control of the meal.
Going back to the drinking of the wine, in the Reish Galusa house, they would say bracha acharona after each glass of wine.
Yeah, unclear. Good question. It's unclear from the Gemara whether a new bracha acharona. Let me just leave it like that.
How about the nidre, which Spartan is like rabotai nevorah?
Correct.
It's actually calling to do bracha hamozon. It's like
right. In the context of our Gemara, it's just somebody saying the meal is now over. Okay. Either way, so the Gemara says v'nivrech itzel lechol mishte my taima. And the Gemara gives a very simple, straightforward explanation. Da asichisu, da ataychu. Because hesachadas, meaning once somebody, and not just anybody, but once somebody formally declares his meal to be over, the meal's over. So now, what do you want to do? You want to drink another cup of wine? No, we'll bench, then, and only then we're going to drink wine. And once we have to drink wine after benching cleared everything previously. In other words, it's like the clear history, meaning we're done. And now you want wine again, so now you have to make a new bracha. Okay, so going back now to Rava, so now we get it. Meaning Rava first made one bracha of wine at the beginning of the meal. Good. That took him through the entire meal, that bracha. After benching, then he made a bracha. In other words, if they decide to drink wine after benching, he made a new bracha, Bar Priya Gafen. Not because like the Reish Galusa, because we don't know for getting another cup, but simply because benching is a clearing of the history, and now you have to make a new bracha of wine. Okay, I'll stop over here. I know there's more to do. I'll stop over here just to end today's daf with one point. And Tosfos makes this point, and Tosfos made this point in the very beginning of today's Amud, and it's just a great point to consider. You know, we make wine over Kiddush. We make wine over Havdalah, meaning the idea is Kiddush is significant. We're going to make Kiddush over a cup of wine. Havdalah is significant. We're going to make Havdalah over a cup of wine. You notice what we do in all those examples? We always first make the bracha of wine, then we make Kiddush, and then we drink the wine. Havdalah, same story. First we make a bracha over wine, then we make Havdalah, and then we drink the wine. Tosfos wonders, why don't we do the same thing for benching? Meaning, what do? Basically, it's the same idea. We're benching over a cup of wine. So why not make the bracha over wine, bench, and then drink the wine? Why don't we do that? I'm sure everyone here will get the answer. Correct. Because again, it's the same answer, meaning it fits into what we just basically said in the Gemara. Because benching clears everything. Meaning you can't bench and then afterwards say, I made a bracha before benching on the wine. And I even had in mind that I'm going to be drinking it after benching. But you can't do that, because benching clears everything previously. So now, Tosaf says just simply, ain brero. I mean, we just simply have no choice. We have to first bench and then make a bracha over wine. Meaning, theoretically, we would like to make the bracha of wine before benching. It's just not going to work, because benching clears everything previously. So benching is just a pragmatic, there's no other way to do it.
A couple days ago, that if you're in the middle of the meal and you get up to daven at home, you don't have to make your bracha when you come back.
Davening doesn't distinguish your meal, but benching would.
I know, but the thing is that they're on the same level.
You can make that argument. I told you that's going back to yesterday.
I told you
that's it's an excellent discussion point.